Это у маликомио!
Вы хотите меня видеть?
Да, да. Идите в спортивные, в рабочие обидите и принесите мне На помощь! На помощь! Don't cry! Hold it back!
All that hate's gonna burn you up, kid.
Keep some warm.
You want blindfolds? This fire is a Geneva Convention. I never heard of it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to You Have Trouble. The date today is June 4th, 2011, and tonight we have Smiter on, and we're going to be doing a couple different segments tonight. We're going to have another installment of the Blue Helmet Survival Guide. And after that, Smiter is going to have to be leaving us, and I will start on a new series of my own. I'm going to be talking about the art of war, dissecting everything, and trying to apply that to things that the militia at large needs to be thinking of and working with. So, I don't talk about news. But I found this as something that is quite disturbing and very unsettling right now. Jose Garena in Tucson. He was gunned down. I don't think I need to tell any of my listeners what happened. And so without speaking on that at all, I'm just going to very quickly have a moment of silence for him and for the pain that his family is going through right now. Well, without further ado, the next installment of Blue Helmet Survival Guide. Now, the last time I had Smiter on, we set up a situation and dictated certain things that needed to be considered. A series of catastrophic events, tornadoes, hurricanes, economic, whatever. Bad things happen, and Blue Helmets, foreign troops are now policing the streets and doing God knows what, whatever the Blue Helmets enjoy doing in these countries that they are brought into. Now, last time I had Smiter on, we talked on a few things, covered most of communications and things like that that could be utilized with Dave the week after. So this week, I think we need to study or talk about a little more about tactics. And 'cause at the onset of something like this, obviously we will not have any kind of logistics trail or supply lines, manufacturing, anything like that. I don't need to tell anybody this. What will need to happen is work on caching, cache points, things like that. So let's, where would be a good place to start at the onset? You're looking at national television and national news and seeing that the Blue Helmets are arriving in force. Smiter, feel free to weigh in on this. What do you think the first step of right-wing extremists such as ourselves should be?
Buddy, I don't know what you're talking about, right-wing extremism, man. I'm a card-carrying member of the ACLU and the Democratic Party. I can prove it.
Awesome. So, Dave, go ahead and drop him off the call.
Yeah, blue hats, man. I would say that is your last card in a government that you start calling those clowns in to secure anything for you. History is not well written when it talks about the UN and their peacekeeping forces. You know, those guys are normally getting screwed. They're inundated with failures in their chain of commands. And indecision. So, for example, you've got a peacekeeping force garrisoned somewhere. They're supposed to be keeping peace somehow. And traditionally for them, it's not by discharging weapons. And that's a problem, I don't even think Hollywood has even over-glorified that epic failure. So, in a hypothetical disaster scenario where we've got blue hats on American soil, I don't necessarily see that as a big deal on its face, knowing what I believe to be true. Now, I could be wrong. They could have cleaned their game up quite a bit. They could be an effective force. They might commingle international forces into that, UN command, for example. I'm not incredibly sympathetic to that, just as much as I would be fighting a regular combatant on an opposing force, right? Hey, you're wearing a uniform, you signed up for the job, I shot you in the face, game over. You can't really cry foul there, but the poor bastards that are sporting the blue hats normally are kind of thinking it's an easy gig. This is kind of the feedback I've got from my world travels is, these guys go into the UN for different reasons. They don't really expect to get into any trouble, but the next thing, you're deployed to Rwanda or some shithole like that, and some stuff happens and you're not prepared or you're not actually authorized to engage. What do you think about that? How would you like to be in a fighting position and told you can't return fire? Screw that, Self-preservation should prevail there, but it doesn't. Now, it's an insidious scenario because we've all seen the hoopla and the Alex Jones crap that's out there, and I do call it crap because I just haven't really seen it substantiated. So let's just say, you've got, 3,000 UN personnel across the U.S. Territory to somehow deal with a revolution, if you would. That's going to be, I would hope, instantly recognized as these guys are a problem. They're just extra targets, Don't even bother trying to turn these cats because you can capture them, you can tune them up or whatever, but they're relatively innocuous. You can take their gear from them, though. I mean, that's pretty easy to do. So my attitude about the blue hats, they're great targets. They got the awesome little blue hats going on. They're easily distinguished. they got white vehicles, stuff like that, you know. They may have changed their game. They might have conscripts. They might have mercs. And that's a problem, you know, if you're actually hiring well-trained military professionals wearing blue hats. Now you've got somebody out there kicking ass, and you wouldn't expect that. Something to think about.
Well, no, that's what you had in Hardin, Montana, with the American Police Force, or whatever they decided to call themselves. Now, I'm just using Blue Helmet as a hypothetical. Obviously, they will be working with Homeland Security and probably NATO, as well as contracting with Russians and probably some other Eastern European, Kazakhstani cavalry, whatever. I'm just using them as hypothetical situation, trying to get the point down that there's foreign occupation, there's gun confiscation, there's people being rounded up. What is our first step? You card-carrying communist.
Well, your first step is to really do some analysis. You know, as painful as it might be to hold your fire, you know, to restrain your action, you need to do some solid analysis. This is where our community really needs to put out and get on the winning team with our communications. And what I mean, when I say communications, I mean something that isn't internet based, telephone based. You know, we may even need to go back a couple decades, you know, and amateur radio is the key. In fact, Homeland Security just released a little memo, it wasn't Homeland Security, it was CDC, the Center for Disease Control. They're using the whole zombie epidemic as a model for using amateur radio operators as something to kind of close the communication loop. So, you know, we all chit-chat about it, and I see a lot of the people saying, I'm working on my license, great, do you have a radio? Do you have something that you can reach out and test somebody with? Have you actually tried to program the repeater codes into your radio, or just sat there and listened to people chatting? Because there's a lot of amateur guys out there that do nothing more than talk to their buddies, and they'll tell you where they're at, and you get a pretty darn good idea of what the ranges are and where the repeaters drop off and pick up at. If you don't know how a repeater works, it's a relay. And so you push your little button on your radio, assuming you've got the right tone programmed into that. When you hit transmit, it's going to go to that repeater and open up that relay, which is going to relay that radio signal onto the next point, if possible. It'll knock down another repeater, or you're going to be talking to somebody on the other side of the mountains. That's what you want to be thinking about. Because when Skype fails, when the internet goes down, how are you going to communicate to your buddies in the organization that you got blue hats kicking doors in your neighborhood?
Right. That was something that Dave and myself had brought up when we had the show on communications. Having ham or even CB radio relay kind of thing, modern day alarm band, if you will. That is extremely useful in that, you know, with the ham radio, I think that, me personally, I think that needs to be something, be statewide or half a state wide or something like that. These larger units need to get a grasp on. Obviously, not everybody in the unit having a ham radio, but perhaps command or certain unit within the militia unit to be responsible for communicating and doing all these other things with other militia units across the country. and be able to train on that too is something that needs to be thought about. Have a practice run. You know, I don't really know how ham works, but I'm sure you can get on a certain channel or frequency. That's the word. Get on a certain frequency so people aren't confused and wondering, well, what? There's blue helmets here. There's these things happening. But
right, and I'm not necessarily... Sorry to cut you off if I did.
Oh, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, I'm of the philosophy of buy the gear, and if you want to get certified on it or a license, go ahead and do that. It doesn't cost you anything to listen. And you could set up a call tree where, okay, if you want to be the nice guy and not break the rules, and you've only got one person who's an actual licensed ham operator, then you could use cell phones, you can use texting or any other means to say, yes, I heard you, in a certain region. So at least you know you can start to do a coverage assessment. Where I live, we have the Cascade Mountain Range, which kind of bisects the state and cuts all the way down through the west coast of the United States. And that's a physical feature that inhibits electromagnetic wave propagation or your transmission, you know. Big solid things block radio and cell phones and your voice and your mother, if you're lucky. So what do you do to get around that? Well, you need to get some altitude. So either you post somebody up on a high altitude to function as a relay. Once again, this takes a lot of ownership on your individual group, because now you've got to actually establish a communication plan dedicated to what we're discussing right here and now. How do we do an alarm and muster? How do you do the Paul Revere in 2011, 2012? Well, that's just how you do it. You know, you get the radios, you make them happen. I found that just tinkering with used handheld ham radios, that there's an overlap between the GMRS and the FRS, which is like your little Midland radios you can buy off of anywhere. You're supposed to have a license for certain channels. Typically, they're open, though. Now, what you can do is you can take a ham handheld in like the 50, 140, 500 megahertz range and actually make that overlap onto those little handhelds. Now, you're going to have a little more power out of your ham handheld. You know, if they're between like 1 and 5 watts, that's decent power, assuming, you know, your antennas are good to go. So now what you can do is set up a tree, if you would. You know, you've got your people with little radios, people with big radios, and passing information back and forth. All it takes is a little thinking and a little trial and error. And believe me, it's fun, you know, doing it. If you wanted to do it on the sly, I would suggest becoming intimate with the right verbiage that is used in the ham sector. So if you perhaps presented a surreptitious call sign, it's not going to be completely ridiculous. On the other side of that, in an emergency, there's really no etiquette involved. You know, it's nothing. If you know that if I key that mic, I'm going to be talking to somebody and I say, I'm screwed, here's my position. You can blab out something in a GPS position and a time or something like that. You know, please relay this to, you know, somebody. That works, you know. I mean, it's recommended for people that are recreational hikers. You know, you pack one of these radios. And like I said, there's no etiquette when you're in an emergency situation. What's fun is to look at the blue hats what the frequencies they're using. If you look at it today, you'll notice that they've all kind of done this shift away from what's available to guys like you and me, you know, to pay out of pocket. Which means, oh crap, I need to buy a new radio so I can step up and eavesdrop on my local departments or whatever.
Well, we have a good good question here from Lieutenant Parker in the chat room. With the modern radios in digital formats, do you fear that the Blue Helmets have the capabilities to pinpoint your AO broadcasting from signal directional finders or satellites? If this is the case, what do you suggest for a secondary form of communications?
Well, I would say that it's a pretty good question because that really touches on three good topics. One, in order for somebody to triangulate on your position, they need to have the resources to do so. And two, you need to be consistent with your signal. So if you're sitting on a mountaintop, constantly transmitting without a break, then it's not going to be hard for somebody to triangulate on you. Now, if you're skipping about on different frequencies according to your communication plan, which you should have, you know, various frequencies that you kick to, as we call it in the military, you know. In your comm plan, you would have various frequencies, and then you'd throw that out in your patrol brief, and you would say, okay, if we kick three, that means you've kicked to the third tertiary circuit, which is already a pre-designated channel that everybody knows. So when you call out that kick three on an open net, which means you're not coded speak, you're not running any kind of crypto or encoding, and I say, you know, Smiter to base camp, I'm kicking three out, that tells base camp that I'm going to whatever our kick three channel is, which if you don't know what that is, screw you, you know, unless you've got a good scanner. And you can do that every hour if that's part of your comm plan, right? That you know, gives you a little bit of resilience and security. If you're using off-the-shelf stuff, yeah, I mean, the big dogs are going to have a lot of technology, but, you know, beat these cocks at their own game. Keep them busy. You could have, like, a whole team of people just talking garbage on a network if you wanted to. But that's getting a little in the weeds of what we were discussing. It's more important to have the ability to strike. It's more important to have the ability to communicate than it is to have a discussion about how cool it would be if I had that radio or I had that gun, right?
Right. Well,
talking about regions, so now, like I said, once again, it's critical that people and their little cells that are out there operating are communicating amongst each other, you know, and don't get wrapped around the axle of, hey, what patch are we going to wear? Or what uniform are we going to wear? It's like, you know, it's screw that. Let's talk about our primary function, which is if we're going to, you know, protect our communities, protect our families, and be able to respond to shit, then how are you going to do that? And start, you know, peeling the onion from the worst case scenario. It's like, okay, internet's down. I can't go to Safeway or the Goonie Mart to get food. Okay, those should be things that we're not even having discussion about today. You know, we should have that solved. It should be done. But I realize we're talking about it. That's why I say get the gear, make it work. And don't worry about, you know, the hard questions of, well, what about countermeasures? You know, yeah, we can do countermeasures. I mean, we can suppress electromagnetic stuff. Sorry, I was just kind of vapor locking here looking at the chat, which I normally don't do. what's meant by a militia? Don't understand what that question means. back over to you, Fox.
Well, I'm not going to get too far into this right now, just because I do have a show that I'd like to get going here, and I know I only have you for an hour.
No, I'll give you two, man.
Okay, that's cool by me also.
First, until Mrs. Smiter shows up and pulls my pants down.
All right, awesome. Well, Ronnie, you know, if you want, you can drop a Skype name in, and we can have this discussion. We could bring in the call. I mean, a militia, the word militia is a very general noun, and it is not... you know, it's not what people think. Nobody really understands that the term militia is general. So I should have been a little more specific in what I explained my show as being, and this is a show for constitutional militia in the United States of America. A militia, by definition, is quite simply an armed group of men and or women.
Do you mind if I speak to that when you're done?
Please, yeah, go ahead.
I said when you're done, so.
Oh, I was. Well, good timing.
What's interesting is, you know, what we're talking about doesn't just have to be in the U.S. You know, it could apply to anywhere in the world. You know, we've talked about Joe Martino's book, Resistance to Tyranny, and he didn't write that with a single-minded country.
No, I was referring to his question about what this website was for.
Well, I'm not sure if Ronnie's a he or a she, but, you know, it's a good question because, you know, what do you mean by militia? Well, you said it. It's an armed body of people, but with a purpose. You know, you're outside. Your purpose is to immediately protect your citizens, and when you bring constitutional militia into the equation, then now you're saying, well, I'm here to protect the Constitution. That's a big cross to bear, man, because that means you're supposed to be on point with all of the usurpations, the infiltrations, and the erosions, which means you need to know your damn history. You need to be on point and know when real shit happens and pay attention, not just from 1776 onward, but preceding that into now and project that image, right? We don't need to go down this dirt road and say, well, here's the laundry list of things that have happened, and this is why we're doing what we're doing, because it should be understood, and if it's not, fine. I would say if Ronnie X1 just stumbled in here, that person, well, that's interesting. If you're looking for it, you found it. So listen and continue to ask questions. But the spirit of the Constitution is and has been in great jeopardy. It's had its ass run through a lot of people's, it's had its flag run through a lot of people's asses, and it stinks.
Well, Ed, a lot of that goes to the fact that personal liberty is not understood anymore, or at least true personal liberty. Nobody understands what it means. Nobody understands that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, they're not there to protect us. We are here to protect them. And the Bill of Rights is the 10 chains or 10 shackles placed on the federal government to keep them from getting to where they are now. You know, you can say whatever you want about it, or not you specifically, Smiter, but, you know, anybody can say what they want about it, and it is quite clear that the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, are mindsets that have not been kept.
Well, I see, you know, since I became a parent, I have a 5-year-old son who's genetically very much like me, which is horrible. And I notice this thing where I'm like trying to tend to my son, and I'm thinking, you know, this is almost like how you would want to go about keeping your federal government in check, because the kid is going to push the envelope until someone, the parent, says, hey, knock it off. Really? Oh, don't push this button? Click. Oh, that button? Yeah, that one. I just, dude, do you want a timeout? I'm going to give you, I mean, really, where is the limit of that? It's like, I'm going to come over there and crush your head. I can threaten him all day long. Am I going to go crush his head? No, I'm not. Am I going to go box his ears in? No, I'm not. You know, the worst thing I can do is cut him off from watching Carl Sagan. If you don't know who that is, I'm sorry, but that's a good problem. Now, to regulate, you know, we're talking about regulating on the people we hired to do shit for us that we want to not have to deal with on a daily basis, right? That's why we have statesmen and politicians and shit. This is where we get pear-shaped, you know, in the world and in our government, because it becomes like this free-for-all of political ascension. Well, I'll rub your back, you rub mine. Okay, crap. Well, don't even talk about Congress. Let's look at the Supreme Court. Let's look at legal precedents. You know, there's several fronts that you have to have your eyeballs on and vigilantly draw a line in the sand and say, hey, fuck this. You went too far. I'm not really sure why the federal government is dictating what can be said during a benediction of a high school graduation in Texas. And I'm not making this up. It just came across my plate a day and a half ago. Anybody else know about it?
I have also read about that. I heard about that briefly.
Okay. So it's a worthy conversation because, you know, you have to remember about our state sovereignty and, you know, federal government and stuff like that. And we went stupid on this during Manifest Destiny and corralling Native Americans. Well, the federal government's going to deal with this. It's like, well, shouldn't the states, you know, kind of deal with this? No. You had basically federal agents on horsebacks, you know, chasing down outlaw Native Americans, if you want to call them outlaws. It's like, we kind of showed up in your backyard and subjugated the Native Americans. Ooh, I'm not going to go down that dirt road, but
yeah,
seriously, you know, there were times where sheriffs were unhappy because here comes the cavalry over the field doing their due diligence and saying, screw your little settlement, we're going to take care of business.
Here's a couple things. I hate to cut you off there, but Ronnie had brought up a couple minutes ago. Arms are not allowed in other than Western states, increasingly not in the U.S. either. The U.S. first step in emergency is to forcefully disarm all of the public without exception. The Constitution no longer exists. I agree with that statement in part. The disarming of the public without exception in emergency happened in New Orleans after Katrina. And that was quite abhorrent and unbelievable to me. And why something hasn't happened and why nobody has been held accountable to my knowledge is beyond me.
I can answer that, but carry on.
Keep in mind, there were units, a unit from Utah, who was stationed not in New Orleans, but in a small town that was also ravaged by Hurricane Katrina, who refused to confiscate firearms. The federal government believes that the Constitution no longer exists and no longer applies to them because the Constitution is no longer enforced. Neither is the Bill of Rights, and neither is the Declaration of Independence. Needless to say, well, I shouldn't say needless. I guess I should say it needs to be said that the Declaration of Independence is a legal document. Any rights, privileges, and duties enumerated in the Declaration of Independence is a legal right, privilege, and duty that Americans, natural-born Americans, and legalized Americans have. You say the Constitution no longer exists. I would like to correct your statement in saying that the Constitution is no longer in force. It still exists. It exists more than just a piece of paper behind fiberglass in the archives. It is a mindset that is obviously growing. It is a mindset that I myself have adopted. Article 1, Section 7 of the United States Constitution lists several jobs specifically for Congress. Specific jobs. This is what you got to do. The 10 articles to the Bill of Rights, also known as the first 10 amendments, this is what you don't touch. Plain and simple.
And that's infringement, by the way. Touching is infringement. Carry on.
All right. Well, you know, what were you going to say about Katrina? I'm interested to know.
Well, I was just going to say that the federal government hired mercenaries to do all the dirty work. It wasn't the local police departments that were out there doing that. It was their conscripts.
Well, there was National Guard and New Orleans SWAT team. Also heard Blackwater was there, but I saw no evidence.
No, they were there, dude.
No, I'm not saying they weren't. I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying I don't say that because I personally haven't seen.
I'm just telling you, as a matter of fact, they were there.
Okay.
And other, not just Blackwater, which by that time they'd already changed their names to Z, but other private military organizations. It was a big soup. And it was probably done by intent, you know, to make it such a muddy water, no pun intended, of this, that anybody who door knocks in the southern parishes and says, yo, bitch, give me your gun or I'll fill in the blank. I mean, most of the people, the ideology behind this was, let's get the guns from the people that are troublemakers. It's like, you know, and this is the problem. You got to think about it. Somewhere in a big round table, people are having this conversation saying, well, what should we do with this problem? Well, let's hire some fuckers to go down there and take their guns. All right. Well, wait, we can't do that. It's unconstitutional. Ah, fuck them. You know, they don't know any better. I mean, if you think it doesn't happen, it does. Just like I spelled it out. You can get as complicated as you like, but the system, the cause and effect, is the thing we're trying to, like, analyze here, yeah? So who's pushing the buttons? Who's making the call? I mean, you can say the Constitution doesn't exist anymore, but you can reject that and say, well, no, the Constitution does exist. Now, is it supported? Is it recognized? Has it been undermined? Yes, it has been undermined. The Supreme Court does a really good job at dancing around anything of constitutional value. They prefer something of legal precedence, which sucks ass, because once somebody wins a court case, it becomes legal precedence, and other people can lean on it, right? In the court of law, because you can say, well, judge, if you look back at 1879 in the McNaughton Act, or whenever that became aware for people throwing out insanity pleas, you know, now this is our standard of who's competent to stand trial. Well, for fuck's sake, is that cool or not? I don't know. I don't really have an opinion about that. But when it comes to the slow chip at the tree, if you look at the Constitution of it as a big tree and everybody takes a whack out of it, eventually that fucker's going to fall over, right? Yeah, it is. Gravity's going to prevail. Because you can lie all day long, but you can't lie to physics.
Right. That is an argument that I use usually, is go over to, say, Germany or Russia and throw a tennis ball up in the air. What's going to happen? It's going to fall back down. Law of physics. Come over to America. Throw a tennis ball up in the air. You're going to throw it up. It'll come right back down. The law of physics is the same as the law of, say, economics. And the laws of tyranny, I guess. There's no... Anyways.
I see where Ronnie's going here. Because, you know, evoking the Patriot Act, which was a major backward step. And what's interesting about me is I used to be the guy who was, you know, puff chest, God bless America, fuck yeah, the Patriot Act is a good idea. You know, if we can poke a bad guy in the eye with it, no worries. Now I see where it's once again an insidious thing, because it's that Pandora's box to your underwear. What are you doing? Well, we pulled this data from the Patriot Act. Fuck you very much. Huh. I'm not really happy with that Patriot Act. Now, there's a little ownership on standing presidents, because I would say if I was the president, I would go back and reclaim every executive order that I could think of that was a problem for the average Joe out there. I mean, for God's sake, we have enough alphabet soup federal agencies that are tending to everybody's move. Yeah?
I'm sorry. I have to cut you off here. And please, I'm...
Dude, I'm only 5'10", so you can't cut me off much more than that.
Yeah, I'm 5'7", bro. All right. Ronnie says here, the Patriot Act superseded it. Bush even scorned it as a piece of paper. Now, half of your sentence is correct, sir. Or ma'am, excuse me. The Constitution is just a piece of paper. I will not lie about that. It is just a piece of paper. Now, whether or not we choose to enforce that piece of paper, that's up to us. The Patriot Acts have not superseded the Constitution. Now, keep in mind, the Patriot Acts are legal, although they are not lawful, and there is a difference. Is going to be the fact that Stalin, in all of his dictatorial scheme, never broke a law. Hitler never broke a law. Everything that these people did was legal. Everything that Obama and Bush and all these other people have done has been completely legal. But it is not lawful. Something that directly violates and goes against the Constitution cannot supersede the Constitution. So, executive orders are an example of the defeat of the Constitution. I will...
challenge is equally a defeat.
I'm sorry?
I said anything unchallenged is an equal defeat. That's kind of how we get to where we're at today. We would be on this little chat today if there hadn't been a sequence of defeat. Yeah, right. We need to go back to the spirit of things.
That's what it comes down to, is the spirit and the mindset.
My neighbor's 2,000 cats. Are the cats infringing on my liberty? Yes, they are, big time. Do I want to shoot them in the fucking eye? Yeah, I do.
Did you drop off there? Okay. Well, hoping that I'm not the one who got dropped, I suppose we will keep going. The police body slamming and choking the people at the Jefferson Memorial recently, that does not prove that the Constitution does not exist. What that proves is that everybody standing around these police and everybody standing inside the Jefferson Memorial, including the people being arrested, were refusing to resist unreasonable police officers. That proves that people are bad and do not follow rules sometimes.
You mean it's okay to break the law to enforce the law?
No. What I'm saying here is that a bad arrest by a few bad cops does not prove that the Constitution is defeated.
Now, no, it doesn't. What proves it is the Supreme Court.
Right. The Patriot Acts have not superseded the Constitution. The Patriot Acts are legal. They are not lawful. It cannot supersede the Constitution if it violates directly the Constitution.
I gotta say, I'm taking Ronnie's side on this because I think I understand where the person's mindset's at. And I think Ronnie's reflecting on the effect of things, not the spirit of things. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, let's have a fair game. No one punches anybody in the junk, right? Well, okay, so there's been a lot of junk pummeling over the years. Is that fair? No, it's not. But unless someone calls foul, then now you've got precedence, which is almost and is law, right? The way we do business in the United States, you slip something through the Supreme Court or any other higher order of law, and a judge makes a decision, well, you just made law. Right? That's why the Supreme Court, you know, years ago, like, shied away from making decisions based on constitutionality because these cunts couldn't even fucking decide what was constitutional or not because they were so whiplash from whatever they were, ether they were sipping off of. They couldn't even focus on the most basic components of human rights and what the spirit of the Constitution was, which was rejecting tyranny and saying, screw you, we're not going to do this anymore, and I'm willing to go to war with you, King George. Right?
The Declaration. The Declaration meant that stuff.
Yes, it did. And I'm just saying the teeth, you know, we can always go back to the Second Amendment of the Constitution and say that the teeth in the Constitution is the Second Amendment. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because that allows really almost an unrestricted body of armed citizens to chill out. That's important. It's critically important. It's as important as your food stores should be for disaster preparation, right? And if you don't got, you know, 7 buckets full of chow chilling somewhere of dehydrated food, shame on you, because you should.
It proves that those that behave in accordance with the Constitution will simply be abused forcefully. The traitors control the police and army. I do understand what you're where you're getting at now, and I do apologize.
Don't apologize, man. We're all friends here.
Okay.
We're just exchanging ideas.
Okay. Some people get offended easily or whatever, so I...
Really? Do we got some bedwetters here today?
Anybody? I hope not. I'm just covering my tracks.
I don't know. I don't see any bedwetters, hopefully.
Well, we do have a card-carrying communist. or I'm sorry, ACLU member.
That's me.
That is you, yes.
Yep. That's me. But hey, you know what else? You know, the father of the atom bomb was the communist.
Okay. Sounds good.
And he was on our side. But I digress.
Yeah.
I'm really not a communist. I don't really fucking know what communism is, to be honest.
Shame on them indeed, Lieutenant Parker. Shame on them for not doing anything to that. Have you seen those videos, by the way, Smiter?
Which videos?
Or the video of the people dancing at the Jefferson Memorial and being body slammed?
I have not. I haven't seen that. I don't know if I really need to see it. I mean, is it going to change my opinion?
Well, no, I'm bringing up an example. I mean, I don't know if you're a wrestler at all, but the suplex is when you get behind somebody, grab them around the waist, and bring them, I don't know how to explain it, but you flip them over your hips, basically, and slam them onto the ground.
Okay, so you're describing a throw.
Yeah. These people were thrown and suplexed and body slammed and choked on the ground at the feet of the Jefferson Memorial, while people stood around with cameras watching. Shame on them.
Well, you got to ask yourself that question. What's better? Do I rush the moment, you know, and engage the bad guys, or do I document it?
Well,
So I'm not going to, like, shame somebody for, you know, keeping their cameras still. You can't bring a gun into Washington, D.C. That's just the way it is, legally. Unless you're a congressman, by the way. How does that feel?
Or a badge.
Or a badge. Not to mention that that's not even a fucking state. You know, Washington, D.C. is a black hole.
Wow.
Who do you think pays for the upkeep on Washington, D.C.? That's right. You and I do.
Well, I think I'm going to call to order here. Get back onto the Blue Helmet Survival Guide. Unless there's, you know, a couple last thoughts you want to throw in.
You see blue helmets, stomp them in the neck and make them squeal if you can.
Okay.
They're conscripts, and that's the funny thing about conscripts is they're in it for the money. You can break that little bond quite easily. Yeah.
Well, the coyote chases the rabbit. Who's going to win?
It depends on who's more patient.
The coyote is running for his lunch, and the rabbit is running for his life.
But I say, why run? Just wait. Observe the patterns and strike, you know? It's like, think about Wile E. Coyote. Yeah, he always jacked himself up with his failures of a mail order mayhem. But his mind was in the right spot. He's like, dude, I'm not chasing the Roadrunner. I'm going to chase this guy all over the world. I'm going to set up a trap, and when he rolls through here, I'm going to blow his ass up. That's where you get into the asymmetrical warfare ideology. It's like, you aren't going to win on going toe-to-toe with your opposition, right? You have an advantage if you're an embedded population, because now you have an opportunity to observe, report, and act. So stuffing a bayonet in someone's face, thinking that's effective, is silly. Chilling out, observing, and talking to the collective about, hey, what should we do about this big problem we have here? And how can I keep my job in the process? Those are good questions to ask, I think. Blue hats show up. Their whole intention is under the guise of maintaining regularity. So let's move on with that. You know, ride the wave. All right. You know, we need to keep building automobiles. We need to keep building planes. We need to keep making steel and things like that. I mean, it's easy to, like, go back a step and say, well, this is quite revolting because I know that we import Korean steel and Chinese steel and nothing's made in America anymore. That's a problem, is it not?
That is a problem.
Why does it take a major taxpayer's input into a corporation to make it look successful? General Motors. Gave me the Volt. Oh, thanks. Sorry if anybody drives a Volt, but it's irritating that that was the outcome from stimulus. Yeah, I know a lot of people paid their money back, but how many people out there got a stimulus or a handout? You know, and did you want one?
I'll let the check expire. That $300, whatever it was. But, you know, people don't understand that even under economic collapse, foreign occupation, whatever they define the shit hitting the fan as, society is going to keep functioning. There might not be very many jobs, but people are still going to be going to work every day or every other day, whatever. There's still going to be all of these things that you see every day, just a little different. For example, probably rolling blackouts or energy rationing, probably food rationing, things like this, but society will continue to function. So, the first step, I think we can both agree on this one, is to work with your pre-designated relay network, get the word out, and start observing and understanding what's going on. Now, I believe the second step or would be what you and Randy had talked about in Gorillas in the Midst is taking the time to observe and plan some action. Now, kind of stepping away from Blue Helmets, I was, like I said, just using them as hypothetical. So we're going to take all of their attributes and their willingness or capabilities and throwing them out the window. Bottom line for this situation, for this show, is we are under occupation, full overthrow, police, troops policing the streets, that kind of thing.
Yep. So you know that when they come door knocking and they say, hey, we're Smiter at, and someone shoots them in the face, they know that that was the right place to go to, right?
Right.
Now, let's say you start picking these cunts off in the convoy. That's a little different. How do you know when they're coming? How do you know these things? Well, you know, that's all really predicated on the elasticity of everyone's patriotism if they are aware that the slow turning fan is slicing up the poo, right? Because that's really how it goes down. It's not We all use the shit hitting the fan analogy as something that's going to happen overnight, but it's not that way. It's the frog boiling in the pot. We know this. We should identify it and move beyond that. But what happens after people are pushed to the limit, you know, you have to, first off, you have to draw the line in the sand and say, nope, we're not going past this. You know, if you push me past this, I'm going to come out sandbagged and I'm going to blow you up. Is that anarchist? Is that unpatriotic? No. It's actually embracing the spirit of the Constitution. Don't infringe on my shit. Infringement is touching. I'm not touching you. Yeah, I know it sounds fun, but it is just that. You can't go door kick somebody on a warrant, for example, for an arrest warrant. Let's just say I was a fugitive, and they kick my door in, and my wife's standing there saying, hey, stupid, he's not here. Now they want to come through and rat fuck everything in the house. Is that justified? Well, it doesn't really matter, because unless my wife was educated and stood her ground and said, you guys, you know, he's not here. Obviously, you don't see him here. Go away. Yet, now they've just yarded out 50 guns, which aren't registered, right?
Hopefully.
What are you going to say to that? Unless you know better, you're going to roll over and piss on yourself and say, oh, fuck, well, you know, Smiter's a bad guy, and they took his guns, and fuck him very much. No, that's just like the wrong way to go down that road. First off, you don't open the door. If they kick the door in and don't announce themselves, and then they may very well be collecting on insurance policies. Do you really want to have that standoff? I don't. Nobody should want that. But would it be justified? I would say yes. Because your shit was infringed on. Now, infringement is a very critical thing to look at, because it means you're not going to touch it, you're not going to look at it, you're not going to mess with it. It's sacred. Shall not be infringed. Now go do a Apple F or an Alt F on your state constitution and look up infringement and see where your hits pop up. Class,
there.
Your first exercise is to do that. Because your state constitution should carry more weight than the federal. Chances are they mimic, parallel the federal constitution. Now, if you start to see departures from that, that's where we gain ground. That's our fulcrum, if you would, to project a sharp pointy thing and say, hey, fuck you, stay away from this. This is our shit.
Well, I know in the 70s, for example, the state of Illinois had a constitutional convention in which they changed the Second Amendment equivalent in the Illinois Constitution to say, subject only to the powers of the police, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, no, I can't get mad.
I'm the police in my neighborhood. Are you?
Well, I mean, you know, I can't really get mad that the state of Illinois has a firearm owner's identification card, which makes it a felony to have a firearm without that card, or that there's waiting periods, obscene amounts of registration, etc., etc. because that's in the state constitution.
And all right, so let's suppose you've got the stupid card, and like every other state is a concealed weapon permit, yeah? So you get signed up by the sheriff. That's the way it works where I'm at. The sheriff signs off on your concealed weapon permit. Even though Washington State is an open carry state, there's a little gotcha there. Because the sheriff seems to have the supreme authority on who can and cannot pack. Are you with me?
All right.
So, now, here you are, you know, Joe Biddy Bob, and you've got your concealed weapons permit issued yesterday, and you get arrested and thrown in the clink for domestic violence, right? Automatically, your Second Amendment right is null and void because the judge is going to say, yep, I'm going to cut you loose on bail, but you may not make contact with this person and you may not possess a firearm. Let's underscore the word possession. Yeah? Because let's say you have a family, right? And you might be a fisherman. So you're off fishing. You got a house full of guns, and your wife's quite happy to tend to them. Now, someone door kicks you again, and they find all these guns and say, oh, I'm sorry, but you've violated a federal law. Now you're really on the hook. Doesn't even matter if you've gone to a jury trial over your case for assault. You've already been mandated by a judge who said you can't own a firearm or possess one. Possession means it's in your house. It doesn't matter if you're there. So now you get fucked in the ass over that one. What do you think of that?
Well, the fact that there are laws, and the term illegal possession of firearms is kind of confusing to me. The words shall not be infringed are there. Don't touch them.
Yep. Don't touch them. Don't look at them. Don't even make a joke.
Right. The fact that the National Gun Control Act of 68 or whatever that was, the one that's a word-for-word translation of Hitler's Gun Control Act.
I don't even know that. I've heard it 100 times, and I couldn't even be bothered to fact-check it, but it sounds fun.
Sounds believable. Anyways, the fact that that is in play here, or the ATF, or whatever acronym they decide to use this week, has the sole authority, just as the sheriff, to decide whether or not you get to take a gun home from that gun shop.
Actually, yes, there's a national background check that's done for that, but...
All right, run through the ATF, if I'm not mistaken.
It's NCIS. National Criminal...
National Instant Check System.
Yep.
That's run through the ATF, if I'm not mistaken. Now,
what it's supposed to do is sync up all of the offenders out there. What it really doesn't do is it doesn't address the state level requirements. So if an FBI check goes through, for example, and says, hey, this guy's clean, yet, you know, he's wanted in a certain state for some innocuous infraction, it's not going to pop up. And I actually don't have a problem with that. It's like, really, you know, let's put our resources into the real bad guys, not the drunks and the drug dealers and the people, you know, that are just victimless crime people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's the fact that what really bothers me about this is that the ATF has been given this authority. And at the same time, lacks any kind of credibility. Point in case, Operation Gunwalker.
Thank you very much. I'm going to step to the head while you talk about that, by the way.
Okay. Are we really leaving this kind of authority over the American people and over the freedoms guaranteed? Are we leaving all this to this age, to this bureaucracy? That people who are in that bureaucracy are speaking out against it and saying clean it up or shut it down. We're leaving that solely to them. I have not heard any crazy tobacco registration laws coming out of the ATF that you can't have X amount of tobacco. Anything like this. They aren't alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. They are the Bureau of Firearms and maybe explosives. It is...
Yeah, it's BTAFE now, by the way.
Alright.
Yeah, they threw explosives at the end of there.
Ooh. Anyways... So, you know, I'm going to make a couple last points on this, and then I would like to get into the next part of the show, and something I'm going to start doing for the for the next few weeks. You know, first step in any kind of foreign occupation or anything similar to what we're talking about is not to run around. Grab the gear, run out the door, and start curb stomping. Your first move needs to be observation and reconnaissance.
And if recon.
Well, those are going to be your first steps: is reconnaissance and observation. Now, recon doesn't mean. Putting on your LBV and face paint and jumping up and down, making sure nothing goes clink, and then running around taking pictures and writing down notes in the middle of the night while looking at a military installation. What is more inconspicuous is walking past or through or nearby something in plain clothes. Recon could be something like, this is an example I used in the last show I had you on, Smiter. Renting a U-Haul truck, parking it in the middle of an intersection, putting it in park, and then running out and then just leaving. And then studying and looking at who comes, what they send, how quickly it gets there, and dissect that information and understand and study that.
What you're describing is called probing.
Okay.
I'll say it again. It's called probing. Probing.
Well, we know where you're
at. This is a classic. Time. We've done it for thousands of years to our adversaries. You know, you go up, you stab them in the eye, and you see what they do. But, you know, there's eloquent ways of getting about this. Now, Fox, you took this like 10 times beyond what most people are prepared to do. I want to take a big step back and say, when you get the emails from guys like Frank Ani or anyone else sensationalizing something, do your own fact-finding. Don't just take it on face value. It's like, oh, shit, you know, the sky's falling, and I'd better get everybody in the shelter. Sorry for using my southern drawl. I don't know why I always go there when I'm doing stupid stuff, but what I'm suggesting is that you educate yourself without impunity, meaning you find your own hardcore, fact-based bedrock. Don't listen to Alex Jones and think that that's the news. Don't listen to Fox News and think that's the news. I mean, dig into it, man. Find some inconsistencies and ask the right questions. I mean, I'm not saying abandon your gut feeling that things are screwed up and you need to prepare for a long haul of austerity. No, please do. Continue to do that, because you're no good to anybody if you and your family are not prepared to deal with hard times over a long spell. We can go into that, but we're getting in the weeds on it in this conversation, yeah?
Well, you know, I say that a lot, and Dave usually says, well, it's all related, so it's your call. You know, we can keep going for a little bit longer, or we can move right into the Art of War.
Let's move into the Art of War. I'm just saying, don't.
No, I agree. You know,
please do not use a single source of data as your conclusion. That's poor science.
Right. The sky is falling and it's mainstream news. Don't look it up. Just believe me. Not something that we need to be exercising. So, you know, moving on, this is a part of the series, or a new series, part of the show tonight, that I'm going to be going through for the next probably 4 or 5 weeks, probably. Among the other things, you know, I'm going to get different guests on, or I might be doing this on my own. You know, it depends on what happens, who's available. You know, the first couple chapters, laying plans, waging war, attack by stratagem, different things. A lot of that was covered during Smiter and Cav Scouts episodes on Gorillas in the Mist here on this show with Randy Mack. For any new listeners, the Gorillas in the Mist series has two episodes, or two parts, and they are available on the website for download, uftreadonme.com/radio, and they will be to the right of the chat box. You scroll down, and they should be both here. Yeah. So they're there. You know, download those. Listen to those. I like that Cav Scout brought in the Art of War into guerrilla and asymmetrical warfare. I really like that, which is obvious because I'm running through the Art of War. So, if you have the book, you'd like to follow along with us, three. And you know, this book is not that complicated to come across. It's free on Kindle for download. But the chapter we're going to be discussing tonight for the next 41 minutes is Chapter 6, Weak Points and Strong. There are some bullet points I won't cover, but there are some parts of this that I won't cover. Most of them will. And we're going to dissect all of them and study each one individually. And try to incorporate that with the kinds of things that militia anywhere need to know and understand. If you would like to come on to the show and interact with myself, Smiter, Drop your name, your Skype name here in the chat room, and we'd be glad to have you on. I'd love to have the listeners on. Otherwise, you know, keep chatting there in the chat room, and we're going to move on with this. So, like I said, Chapter 6, Weak Points and Strong. Number 2, therefore the clever combatant imposes his will on the enemy, but does not allow the enemy's will to be imposed on him. You were trying to find the word for exactly this, and that's you gotta mind fuck him, but you can't let him get to you. You know, they have their here's a common thing I hear a lot is, well, they've got drones and they've got all cool gadgets and toys and blow you up shit, oh, blow you up stuff. But all that has to be powered by something. So instead of getting freaked out because there's drones, of these drones infesting the sky, how about you think about where and how you could eliminate that threat? And this could be something as simple as damming up a river or eliminating some kind of power supply so that the base at which the predators or whatever gadget you're trying to eliminate from the equation, eliminate that from being a problem. Well, you dam up the river because that will drain electricity from that forward operating base. So then they have to run at night on generators. Generators run on electricity. And if those gas trucks don't have anywhere to park, well, then those UAVs aren't flying tonight. You know, I think part of the future weapons show is to kind of freak you out from standing up. I think that is a very big part of that show. Might just be me. I might be just that paranoid. Who knows? But you can't let them intimidate you. You cannot let them impose their will on you. There's always a way around it. There's always a way to hit Goliath in the eye with the stone.
Well said, mate.
Thank you. Anything? Do you have anything to say on that one, Ishmeyer?
Oh, I got lords to say. Countermeasures, man. Put that in your pipe. Stuff it down tight and smoke it every day, because like you just suggested, you know, there's a spirit of one, you got to understand the pressure that's over you. If you got drones, you're like, oh my God, I couldn't possibly defend against those guys. Well, does anybody remember about barrage balloons from World War II? Pretty simple idea. What they did is they ran cables up on lighter than air vessels and just fucked up bombers if they could. Same thing with a drone, but you don't need super heavy stuff. You can go to Safeway, get a gaggle of helium balloons, run some 50 test fishing line between them, run those at the altitude that you know these things are going through, and oops, you know, you just choked out a drone and it cost you $3.
Look at that. Disruption and available on a budget.
Now, let's say you don't have availability for helium. Well, we can go super old school, and you can build like the old school Asian lanterns that float in the air from hot air. You know, whatever it takes, it doesn't mean much. It's you know, those drones are pretty fragile. You know, they're susceptible to turbulence and hang time. You know, they've got a limited amount of power. You could disrupt their electromagnetic link. If you got people in your crew that know how to do so. So there you go. You know, you're not really inventing anything. You're just understanding the technology and exploiting its weakness. You know, think about your cell phone. I can't use my cell phone in a parking garage because there's a lot of concrete and metal. Unless someone installed repeaters, you're probably not going to get a call out. Same with radios. You know, if you wanted to disrupt electromagnetic propagation, well, just know the frequency band and throw a lot of power out there. Well, isn't that annoying? You know, I guess I can't use that frequency band anymore. Damn you. For unmanned vehicles, what if you could commandeer it? Better yet, just take that thing out of the sky in my book, but it's not hard. Imagine, you know, don't put yourself in a box when it comes to solving these problems. The hardest problems to solve are, like, man, how do I unfuck my government on a local level? Whoops. Well, how do I do that? Without really getting engaged in it, I guess, you know, because it's easier to buy beans and bullets than it is to go put your cock on the block and actually stand up and say, you know what, I'm tired of this. You can review my abstract and the voting pamphlet, and Lord knows where you're going to go from there if you want to.
Well,
I did a little tour today with my family, my wife and my five-year-old, in the graveyard of all places, and in the little city that I live in. I thought it was interesting that there was a dedicated grave of these Masons that had this thing called a Committee of 21. And apparently they were a pain in people's asses during the time, because they had a lot of control. It wasn't because they were casting spells on people. It was because they were an organized group of dudes focused on a certain outcome. And the reward, I guess you could say, in their internment was that they actually had kind of turned the city around a bit. Markedly, it was that in step with the Constitution, I would say yes. I don't really know the details, but it stood out in my little brain housing unit saying, you know what, you get five people together that are dedicated to something, and it's really hard to shut those guys down, whether they're snipers, whether they're political operatives, whatever. If they're dedicated to a goal, and you have human force behind it, because you got to remember, there is no formidable force that can oppose the will of free people. How do you screw with that? When someone wakes up and they say, dude, I'm so free, you cannot even bind me by your silly little rules, and I reject them. Is that anarchy? No, it's not. Is that patriotism? Damn right it is. Is, you know, the American civil rights and the human rights, is that inconvenient? Yeah, it is, but you got to remember that. Because we may as well all be inconvenienced black Americans at this point. Yeah?
Well, can't say I disagree. Well, a good point, sir.
So if you want to stand up and say, fuck you very much, You know, pick your target. Pick that target. And if you want to spend your lifetime neutralizing it, God bless you and I will help you. When I said lifetime, I mean you're going to have children. And you're going to have to explain to them why things are so screwed up. No, I'm sorry, son. You're not insane. Yes, things are really weird. I would like to explain to you how it should be, but right now it's fucked. So your choices are dig in with this big-ass 50 cal and wait for the next cock to come over the horizon, take him out. Or you can inject yourself into the system and maybe make a change. You know, those are our choices. That's what we have to play with today. Now, you're either the rubber or you're the wheel. If you want to be the air in between, fine. They're all critical.
Major Cross, excuse me, Colonel Cross, had told me we had been talking about the difference between defending and being rebellious, the difference between restoration and rebellion. The difference there is, you know what, I'm going to have to mute out for 1 second. I will be right back.
Well, so he's muted out. Does anybody out there, like, think I'm off in the weeds with what I've said so far? You can reply in the chat. That's kind of the only chalkboard that I have. Are you listening? Are you not here? Are you somewhere else? That's fine, because I normally don't pay attention to chat. It's no big deal. I know Fox has a pretty awesome dog. Jeez.
I do, and I do apologize for that.
Why?
I had to step away in the middle of a thought. You know, the difference between being lawful and restoring things being lawful in the defense of yourself, that would be lawful. But actively going out and starting shit, that is rebellion and that is unlawful.
I disagree. Well, I agree and I disagree, but that's the thing about what we do, right? It's so open-minded, we're not going to ask each other disagreements. There's a disagreement between law enforcement and you tell a guy, hey, you can't arrest me. He says, I'm going to invoke you, does it? No, it doesn't. You could dictate to the guy everything he's doing wrong. Let's assume you've got a master's in political science and a doctorate in homeland security, which should somehow stroke constitutional law, yeah? Most lawyers don't even want to deal with constitutional law because they know that's a big black hole. Interesting thing, you know, I would say homework for everybody, and the reach of my voice is like, why don't you do that? Constitutional laws, there's no money there, even though it's typically the foundation of your argument in law, right?
Well, the Constitution is the law, and the fact that it's become the words constitutional law, the fact that that's become a completely different subject from what really is law. You say constitution, people don't think that is the law.
I just want to reiterate that because I look at Washington state law. You look at the top of the goddamn page and it says The Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. All right. What else do I need to know? Well, okay. You know, here comes the hook in your ass. Because if what you're thinking when you read that is comforting, it shouldn't be. That's my takeaway. That's not really a salvation. Yeah? Yeah, look at the whole Second Amendment and the other, you know, silly cunts out there, like, suggesting that, well, we're a militia and, damn it, we're abided for in the Constitution. It's like, well, if you want to subjugate yourself to the governor. But aren't we at the stage of the game here where we're not really wanting to have that order of recognition?
The governors aren't wanting that level of recognition.
I'm at that level. I really don't require approval of the governor or the senator or the mayor or my mother. Hello.
Well,
if you piss in my Cheerios, I'm going to stab you in the eye with a big, sharp, pointy thing. And if I don't have a big, sharp, pointy thing, I'm going to use a blunt thing. It's fair. And that's where we've lost our way. Yeah. Now, Roxy was annoyed because I used my 5-year-old in an analogous scenario. And I understand that. I use my neighbor's cats as a great scenario because the poor girl is a social retard and she hoards felines. To her, those are her children, which, mind you, her real children, she lets run amok, annoying the neighborhood. Now, how do I deal with the border incursions of the cats? Border. They come in, they tear up my little garden and just do other stupid stuff. They're nice creatures, yeah. Okay. You mean, do I want to choke them off? Yeah, I do. I really do. But am I going to? No, I'm not, because I would be infringing on my neighbor's right to enjoy her children. Now, we're at a crossroads here. We're in an impasse. I can't enjoy my sovereignty of sitting, enjoying silence without the cats. Right? I've tried the nice approach. I said, hey, your cats are killing me. Could you keep them inside? I know that's unreasonable because you got 50 of them. So I'm fucked. You know, I just got to suck it up. I suck it up because I'm a patriot, and I realize that me sucking it up is actually protecting her freedom. Am I sideways? Yeah, I am, because I spent 12 years in the military, and this is what we do. You know, so don't ever, you know, go to a vet and say, hey, thanks for protecting my freedom, because really, we didn't do shit for you. All we did was do stuff for each other. You know? We didn't protect anybody from the real threat, which is in our own homeland. Any other vets out there want to argue that point? Have at it.
Well, I would like to, real quick before we get back into the art of war here, say that I do welcome in all listener participation.
Hello, Daddy. I got the new scorecard, so you and me can play together.
Did everybody hear that?
Oh, yeah. Good stuff right there. I do welcome any and all listener participation. I would like to start having listeners on. Come on whenever they want to. Drop your name in Skype, and we'll bring you in. Otherwise, you can get my email is fox.ohmm@yahoo.com. So what we're going to do here, we got about 20 minutes left. I'm going to knock out as much of this chapter here as I can.
Right away.
is chapter 6, number 5. Appear at points which the enemy must hasten to defend. March swiftly to places where you are not expected.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not sure I need to go too far into this one.
Dirty. You know what? I would say that 40% of the art of war is dirty tricks.
Of course.
When I say dirty tricks, it's almost like the axiom of like, hey man, you walked right into it. What do you want me to do? Put a label on it?
All right, that's we won.
When you think you're getting your ass beat, look at your opposition's might and look where its source is at. Right? Is it technology? Is it mobility? Is it public opinion? You know, what are these things? And counter them, you know, if you can do it with justice, you know, in a matter of fact, then get in there and shine the light. If it's a matter of a cable stretched across a fire road and the next guy that comes bumping down there loses his head, too bad. But you're never, never, ever outgunned. As long as you got a heartbeat and a network.
You are Superman, you are King Kong, until you're dead.
That's right. You're 17 until proven otherwise.
Nice. I mean, you say the art of war is nothing but dirty tricks. I agree.
Oh, no, I didn't say it's nothing but dirty tricks. I said it's...
All right, I'm sorry, you're 40% correct. I apologize. Is dirty tricks. I apologize. That's war. That is how we won this country from the greatest, most technologically advanced, well-trained military.
But you don't learn that in Army infantry or Marine combat school. You know, you learn that, they call it spec ops. Which we don't need to go down that dirt road because we're talking about it today. If you haven't read Joe's book, Joe Martino, and I hate to be the book bitch, but get that damn book in your hand. Yeah. Learn it, read it.
$15 book on Amazon.com. Does not just apply to Americans. I know...
No, it does not.
I'm not sure if we are simulcasting tonight in the UK or not, but regardless, this book is universal. I would say especially to those in the UK, because that is quite a scary point of affairs.
It's funny you mentioned the UK. I've worked a lot with Scots and English. And to this day, there is a great abrasion socially between the people. Hadrian's Wall is like their little line in the sand, you know. And it's not as innocuous as you and I call the South. The South. I'm a Yank. By geography, you know, in language, doesn't really matter. If I team up with you, preferably, I'll take a shit ton of those boys from Louisiana if I can find them.
Yeah, I am from the People's Republic of Illinois, but I am... supposed to be somewhere south of the Mason-Dixon. Not sure how I ended up here. Probably a filing error on behalf of the creator. Who knows? But, yeah.
How are we looking at for time here? I'm on battery on my MacBook.
All right, if you gotta go, that's fine, man.
I'm at 84%, dude. I could talk you under the table if we had to.
Oh.
I just couldn't help but notice my son trying to fast rope down my garage.
All right, well, let's move it on to the next point here. And this is one I think we can agree. I really like this one. Chapter 6, number 6. An army may march great distances without distress if it marches through country where the enemy is not.
Duh. Can I say duh?
Yeah, you did, actually.
Well, what that means, obviously, is that you're in happy land, right? So you've got lots of support as you make a move, which goes back to our comms conversation, really. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't seen the new Red Dawn, but I've been evoking my own version of it in my head.
Now, is that out yet, by the way?
Well, there's been some complications. I guess China got insensitive about them being the bad guys. But, you know, seriously, a scenario is you got boots on the ground, someone to poke in the eye. My litmus test is, you know, my family and my friends, because they're all law enforcement. They've actually done interventions and said, dude, I don't really think what you're doing is cool, and, you know, we eat guys like you for breakfast. And it's like, really? Chow down, man. I'll give you eggs over my hammy if you want it. Let's talk about the fundamentals, though. You know, from my experience in the military, it's not that much different than how you deal with law enforcement. Well, we'll just bend the rules to make sure what we just did works out in the affidavits. Right?
Yeah.
How do you like that reality?
I don't.
Your truth is based on force, not fact. You digging that? I'm not digging it.
You know what? I kind of understand why it's called Big Brother now. It's that exact example is what justifies calling it Big Brother. Is if you don't, the truth, it makes sense in my head. Hang on a second. Truth is dictated by force. If you don't tell mom, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. That's the Big Brother. Sorry.
Whoa.
Kind of a light bulb.
I've proven this in my own little experiment, which I can only share to a slight few of people, but I've documented this reality, let alone that I've lived it shamefully, you know, as much as any other armed recently or post-recently veteran. You know, we're not out there whacking guys because we believe that whacking dudes is somehow working out to our cause. We're out there whacking guys because we know that I can bring my buddy back to the tent and live another day. It transcends politics. Bottom line. Now, does your state police do that? Does your city police do that? Sheriffs, I really have a little more warm heart for. I don't know why. Based on conduct, I guess, most of the time in my area. You know, these guys are a little more one-on-one and not going to fuck with you.
Well.
Now, if I put you out on patrol and I said, Fox, you're on patrol, you got point. I want 3 kills today. Don't come back unless you got those. What are you going to do? You going to go kill some shit? Or are you going to fabricate your Boer report? Sorry, Boer report's kind of a Navy thing, but it's basically your after-action report. I just wasted a box of ammunition. I neutralized four good dudes. What more you want out of me? Okay. Happy chappy. Well done. Right. Now, God forbid your armor shows up shy one round. That's a problem. You know, 300 rounds, not a big deal. One round out of a mag, that's a problem. Ask me why.
Oh, do tell.
I don't know why, you know, unless it's supported by a report. In our neighborhood, we call them affidavits. Copper writes an affidavit. That's prima facie. Anybody know what prima facie is? Well, it's basically something that is a matter of fact on its face. That's the power of law enforcement, is writing those documents. If you don't challenge them, they are God in front of that judge when he's looking for probable cause.
Yeah, that is something I really don't like.
So, let's just say Mrs. Smiter shows up, doesn't like me talking on the radio, says, dude, I told you not to do the militia thing, and beats the fucking Christ out of me with a pipe. What do? You know, I can crawl to the phone and call 911, but, you know, when the guys get here, they're going to look at her, they're going to look at me and be like, really? I don't think she beat the crap out of you, dude. Come with us. At that point, you're in the pipeline. No pun intended. You're screwed. You'll be processed. You'll be mandated a minimum bail. Yada, yada. Not only that, but chances are, immediately you're going to have your Second Amendment rights revoked. In fact, most misdemeanor crimes revolve around that. Shall not possess a firearm. What's possession? You know, what do you want me to do with all my stuff? Should I give it to my neighbor? I still possess it legally, right? Where do we draw that line?
Well, that's all been done by design.
And is it justifiable for me to undermine my family's ability to defend themselves? We talked about this at the beginning of the show. I'm inclined, and I hope everyone else is, to say, go fuck yourself. I'm going to leave every piece of hardware handy for my wife to deal with, whatever she wants to. And if you want to bring me up on charges for, you know, federal firearms, fine. Prove it. Now we've commingled federal and state law. And oh, too many people have been relegated to the 12-by-6-foot cell because they just couldn't really think of the right things to say or buy their freedom.
All right. Well, we are once again in the weeds on this here. And now I would like to get back to this here. The last one, number 6. You know, I like it because, yes, it's dry and it's kind of, well, no fucking duh. But there's a few things underneath it that I would like to point out.
What? What? Sorry, I should mute out when I yell at her.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You know, a couple things here. I'm going to read it again. An army may march great distances without without distress if it marches through country where the enemy is not. Now my listeners are probably smacking their foreheads going, okay, no kidding. Well, there's a couple things. A big part of being able to conduct yourself properly in a environment such as one that we are discussing is morale and a sense of security. Now, as the enemy marches through country where enemy is not, does not necessarily mean let me try this again. I do apologize here. Just because there's no fighting doesn't mean I'm not there. Basically, giving this enemy force a false sense of security and this false morale boost that they're somehow making things better in this area. All the while, you're sitting there watching as you're counting who they have, watching their demeanor as they are marching, possibly understanding what they're talking about, depending on where they're from and what languages you speak. It's a prime time for observation. There's two big places in which a patrol will become nonchalant, and that's when they're getting close to base at the end of the day, or when they believe they're in a green zone. Now, if you let them believe that they are in the green zone, they will not be prepared. You can watch them walk past you, or maybe not directly walk past you, but you can watch them, and study them, and think about them. That's all I'm going to say on that one. You know, give them that morale boost and let them think that they have everything, quote, pacified. But I'm going to move on to the next point here. It's chapter 6, number 8. Hence, that general is skillful in attack whose opponent does not know what to defend, and he is skillful in defense whose opponent does not know what to attack. Now, to me, there's a couple things to this one, obviously. Is skillful in attack whose opponent does not know what to defend. And Cav Scout, in the first part of Guerrillas in the Midst, had said that if you take 3 shots at a occupier and miss every single one, but they can't find you because you just disappeared into the crowd or disappeared behind an alley, that's a win. And if you're simply attacking a column or several columns of armored vehicles and that's all you ever attack, well, that, you know, they know what to defend against. They will figure you out. And you will lose. You will be destroyed. But if you lightly attack an armored column, I would not recommend that, or a mechanized platoon, or some kind of patrol, light mechanized, say soft armor trucks. And then the next day you go and attack infrastructure and do things that aren't sexy, as Cav Scout and Smiter had said. The stuff that nobody really talks about in the movies, destroying radio relays and electricity destroying their ways of gaining electricity, like I had discussed earlier, damming the river. If you do these things, they will not know or understand where you're attacking, what you're attacking, what you're doing, and they will not be able to figure you out. And then the second part here is, he is skillful in defense, whose opponent does not know what to attack. If I destroy something, and I'm wearing plain clothes and simply disappear into a running crowd and put a scared face on and go, oh my god, they're not going to know that was you. You will disappear, and to be quite frank, nobody will know who to attack. If you're running around in camouflage BDU and your web gear or your vest or whatever, you're running around doing shit like that, they're going to know what to attack. But if you blend in with a crowd and essentially disappear, this is something that needs to be considered. And it looks like we are out of time for the evening, so we will start to close out here. Smiter, any last thoughts for the listeners?
God bless America. We know we need it. If anybody wants to get me, catch me on Skype. Smiter13. That's Smiter13. And I'll give you more myself. I'm sure Fox will too.
Yeah, I'd love to have Skype conversations, whatever else, with anybody. Yours is Smiter13. Mine is Skyfox, ILSL. You know, add me on Skype, and if there's something you wanna come on the show, you wanna do anything, conversate with me, do anything, let me know.
I do play two sides of the fence. One is, I'm always looking for good people for our alpha team. And two, I'm always looking for good people. You know, the alpha team, you got to be ready to get dirty and hump a pack and take care of problems with a pointy edge. Two, just have a heartbeat and a good heart, and your brain's working.
All right. Well, there's a big part to my shows, and I've said this several times. When I'm doing my show, I am constantly thinking about listeners leaving the page either during or after the show, wondering, what in the hell did I just listen to that for 2 hours? What a waste of time. And basically what I'm doing right now is basing my show off of what I would want to hear. A show for the militia, by the militia, if you will. So, if there's anything you want to hear, anything you want brought up, anything you don't like, disagree with, any comments, questions, anything, email me, fox.ohmm@yahoo.com, or get me on Skype as SkyFoxILSL. And I mean, I would really love some listener participation, so do let me know what you guys like and don't like. And girls, probably.
I got one more thing to say here.
Oh, go ahead.
Big Uber high five to Dave for engineering and keeping this thing going, actually.
Well, yeah. Dave is my producer. If I don't think I've mentioned that before, and he takes care of keeping me on the air, so special shout-out to you, Dave. Thank you, Smiter. But
no, I think it's a group effort, man. We're not gonna get ahead without each other.
Awesome.
And I'm going to sign off.
All right. It looks like I am too. Have a good night, everybody, and stay frosty out there.